I'm lucky enough to be the State Director of Vision Generation, which is World Vision's youth movement, where I met the lovely Rachel Chan. I'd like to thank you very much for having me here tonight. But I suppose tonight is about talking about our own experience and having this concept of Unchained. I felt that it fit really well into the experience that I had a few years ago. As a 17-year-old, I was challenged when I sat in my class in Year 12. A World Vision speaker came out to our school and spoke of this crazy thing called poverty, a word we hear and are so desensitised to. You know the images that you see on TV, the sponsor of children, the World Vision ads, we all know the ones. And yet we can look at those pictures of children with bloated stomachs or children working 12 hours a day and not feel a thing. This was my reality, hearing these speakers come in and out of our school and being completely desensitised to it. It was until one day I had the opportunity to participate in the 40-hour famine, where I first felt true hunger. Maybe not starvation, but for 40 hours I decided to go without food to raise money. And I think at about hour number 6-7, I was starving and it sucked. But I pushed my way through it. After I did the 40-hour famine, I raised only about $200 or so. I decided to apply to do this thing called Youth Ambassador. I had no idea what it was, but I was lucky enough to get it. A few months later, World Vision sent me off to India. And they didn't send me off on a holiday or some exciting trip that I was prepared to go to and learn about World Vision's work and play with all these fun kids. I was sent to discover child labour and child slavery firsthand. And as a 17-year-old girl who was so stressed out about my hair being straight enough when I went to school or wearing the right clothes, the concept of child labour was images of sweatshops. The reality of it didn't really make any sense. So excited, I got onto the plane, I arrived into Delhi. The next day, we were woken up at 5 a.m. and driven in a four-wheel drive car that was on its last legs. And as we drove, I remember looking up into these mountains. It was still quite dark, so I couldn't quite make out what it was. I thought, wow, we must be near the Himalayas. Look at these beautiful mountains. The World Vision worker turned to me and laughed. I'm like, why are you laughing at me? And I was taking photos. They're not mountains. Oh, well, yeah, they are. They're mountains of rubbish. A few hours later, we arrived at the second largest rubbish dump in the world, with hundreds of little children picking their way through it at the top, fighting the dogs and the pigs and the birds. They opened the door and asked me to get out and have a look for myself, horrified by the smell, a smell that I can't define. I didn't want to step out of it. Once all the other youth ambassadors from the other states left, I was forced to get out of the car. As I stepped out, I was almost swamped by all these children, grabbing at me, touching my hair, touching my clothes, asking me for rupees. As I continued to walk through the slum with the rest of the other guys, I noticed all these little kids running around barefoot, no shoes, and I was watching so carefully where I was stepping, not to step in any mud or feces, but they ran freely without a care in the world, so happy to see these foreign faces in their slum. The girl you saw on the screen, her name is Rajni, and she was one girl I met while I was there. And her story really stuck with me. Seeing her reality on that DVD clip, it's very possibly detaching and it looks really sad and that's it, it's just sad. But I thought I would focus on her story because you see the numbers. Over 120 million children went to work today. Over 120 million children don't get to go to school. Over 60 million alone are found in India. But if I can break that down into just one story, and if you can think or multiply that by that many children, it becomes huge. In a day and age where we can do so much, this was an issue I couldn't ignore. Rajni is only 9 years old, and at 9 years old she's the sole provider for her whole family. She gets up every morning at 5 a.m. to pick up rubbish. I watched her walk down the road picking up rubbish, rubbish that we discard, plastics, metal, old shoes. As a dump truck dumped rubbish close to where she was walking, she ran excitedly at the sight of new rubbish, fighting the other children for the best bits. Stunned, I watched her as I couldn't begin to imagine myself picking up rubbish. I remember being in high school, and if I had to pick up rubbish that I'd even dropped, I'd have a big sook about it. Coming back to the slum, I had a chance to talk to her through an interpreter. I asked her many questions, what her hobbies were, what her favourite colour was, what she liked to do in her spare time. She loved to dance and sing. Then, silly enough, I asked her one question that I really regretted. I looked at this little girl and I asked her what her dream is. If she could have one wish in the whole wide world, what would it be? It only made sense to ask a little girl this. But having asked it and then thinking about it, I realised that I just asked this girl who has so little, that lives in a house the size of my double bed, who lives hand to mouth every day and earns 70 cents for her whole family. I just asked her what she wanted. Cringing, I was getting ready for this answer of, well, of course I want more food. I want a bigger house. I want money. And yet what she said to me stunned me. She looked at me and she said, if you could give me one wish in the whole wide world, I promise I'd wish to go to school. Having gotten up and went to school every morning for that past year and always found something to complain about, this left me feeling embarrassed. On the last day I was in India, I went back and visited Rajni. Having seen some intense issues of child labour, I visited children that worked in tanneries, creating leather products, children that made saris, children that had been trafficked, children that were part of sexual exploitation. I went back to Rajni and she asked me this one last question. She knew I was leaving to go back to a place better than hers. And she looked at me and she said, when you go back, will your people help me? I didn't know what to say. It wasn't something I was prepared for. I didn't want to lie to her. I wanted so badly to say yes. Yeah, they'll help you. But I knew I couldn't lie to this little girl who I may never see again. So I said to her, I'll tell you what. I don't know if they'll help you, but I promise you that I'll tell you about them. And then they can decide if they'll help you or not. During 2008, I went and I did about 80 to 100 talks around Victoria telling young people of Rajni and the issue of child labour, leaving it with them to decide now what they will do with it. I feel that for me, India was my wake-up call. My mum's from the Philippines and often talks about poverty and me having it so easy here. I just think it's her giving me a hard time. But I feel that I was meant to go to India and to see this and to keep speaking up for the children like Rajni that I met. I believe that regardless of your faith, whether us being here and being Christians, having the right to go to school, the right to your basic health care, to food, to water, it doesn't matter what your skin colour is, it doesn't matter where you're born, you deserve it. And mine and Rachel's boss, the big TC, he was talking a few months ago and he mentioned this thing called the lottery of life. I'm like, what are you on about? And he was saying that we'd all won in this lottery of life. We're in the top 3% of wealthy people in this world because we can access the internet. We're in the top 7% of educated people in this world because we can go to university. Not because of what we've done, but because of where we're born. Our generation is the first that has the resources, that has the knowledge, that has the power to eradicate all extreme poverty and child labour from the face of this world. And yet we lack the will. Let us not be found lacking when it comes down to the heart.